and welcome to the Fat Lip podcast for fat people, about fat people, hosted by a fat person, with all fat guests, coming to you with another new episode. And today I'm talking to Grace. Grace is a listener that I met on Instagram, and she is half Japanese. She's from the Midwest. She's from Indiana, like I am, actually. And today on the episode, we talk about a lot of things. Grace and I had a very long conversation. We talked about small town Indiana mentality. We talked about race in Indiana. I should also note that we recorded this episode before Charlottesville. And when I was editing and listening back, I felt like hearing some of Grace's experiences of really overt, clearly racially and culturally motivated intimidation following Trump's election was really important and really real. And I think it's super necessary that we hear experiences like this and realize that white supremacy is widespread and it is malignant, and that these are things that people of color are experiencing on a daily basis in their regular lives. So I thought it was very important to hear that and to think about it. And Grace and I also talked about body positive and fat positive stuff, and about how her family and her culture has impacted the way she has felt about her body throughout her life. And we talked about where she is now, and which is a much better place, I'm happy to report. So I hope you enjoy the chat with Grace today. I really did. Grace was so fun, and she was so thoughtful, and we really dug into things together. So we're gonna dive right in.
So I guess we're starting from like the very beginning.
Yeah.
So I am half Japanese and half white. Mm-hmm. And my parents met in Japan, and my dad is from Indiana and my mom is Japanese, and they decided to move back over to the States. And then I was born here in good old Bloomington, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And then we ended up moving up to like the Indianapolis sort of area.
Yeah.
When I was about 5, I ended up going to Catholic school from 1st through 8th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a little awkward because it was kind of like where I first experienced where I wasn't like, I didn't like look like everybody else.
Right. Right.
So I mean, I always knew that I was half Japanese. Like, it wasn't like a shock, but I'm just like,
right.
Oh God, like what?
What are you talking about?
I'm what now? Mom looks different. Why? but so like when I was really, really little, my mom would speak more Japanese to me and my brother. But we always grew up speaking English, and my parents never like forced us to learn Japanese, or even if we like actively wanted to, they're like, no, it's fine. my dad speaks proficiently, so my parents are able to speak to each other in Japanese, and then like my brother and I just don't understand it. They would like have entire conversations in front of us, and we're just like, okay, I guess that's fine. Like, if they didn't want us to know something.
Right.
So
right.
It was good for them, but, like, for us, it was just like, all right, we'll just be over here. But, so, like, going into, like, school, like, where you deal with other kids every day, like, that's where you get, like, questions, especially if you don't look like what's considered quote unquote normal, especially in Indiana. So like,
right. Especially
everybody's white.
Right. Especially a Catholic school in Indiana, which is funny because I also went to Catholic school in Indiana.
Yeah. The school that I went to, it was originally located on like, I think the east side of Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved it closer to like the north side. So more, it's closer to like a suburb of Indianapolis. And so we were like the technically one of the first classes to go when the school opened. So it was, there were some people that had family that went to that school when it was in the old location, and they moved the kids to the new location. But I'm just like, I don't know anybody. This is normal. So going in there, like a lot of the times, first grade, not so much, but like once I hit second grade, I would get asked constantly, like, are you Chinese? Are you Chinese? And finally, one of the people that I'm still friends with, there's a few of us that are still friends today. She came up to me and she asked, hey, are you Chinese? And I just like burst out crying, like so frustrated that I'm like, no, I'm Japanese. No one can tell. And it was just like so frustrated as a little second grader that like everyone just thought that I was this other thing.
Right, right. Yeah. And like also, I mean, we both have the experience of Indiana where like everyone is white and, and like they don't, a lot of people don't necessarily understand that there's a difference between Chinese and Japanese in a lot of places in Indiana. So it's like, and plus it's kids. So kids have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. So like, obviously back then I didn't have the vocabulary for it, but I'm like, oh, that was totally a microaggression. Like, obviously they don't mean any harm by it, but just like constantly asking. And then you're like feeling othered because you don't belong with like all these other kids. So like there were a few other, there were a couple other like Filipino families that were there. And then I think there were like one or two Black families that went there. Mm-hmm. And then like that was it, and everyone else was white. So granted, like each class, the number of students in each like grade was like 75 per grade, so it was pretty small in comparison to like public school and stuff. But so you grew up with everyone, and like you like figured out everyone's personality and stuff, like especially when you get to the eighth grade. But it was just it like didn't, I guess to me, it seemed very strange when all of a sudden I'm like not considered the same as everybody else when they're just like, oh, you look different. And then as we got older, I remember like distinctly we did a poem that in like fifth or sixth grade, and the poem was like personifying the rays of light as like little yellow children dancing along the fence.
Oh my God.
Like that. And I didn't think anything of it. I was just like, okay, yeah, like obviously it's the sun setting. And so you have like the yellow sun rays, blah, blah, blah. And my English teacher came up to me, and like I was going to the bathroom, I think. So I was in the hall by myself, and my English teacher happened to be walking by, and she was like, you know, Grace, I just want to make sure like you didn't take any offense to the poem, and that like what, like, you know, that the yellow children didn't mean. And then like it hit me, and I was like, oh, you think I thought it was racist?
Yeah.
And I'm like, nope, that definitely didn't like occur to me at all. But now I'm going to think about it a lot. And so like that is like one of the big experiences where I was just like, oh, okay, I see that I'm like not the same as the rest of the people in my grade. Like, I mean, maybe me as a sixth grader, I'm like, I have no idea about anything in the world.
Right.
So like maybe sixth graders nowadays, because of, you know, with social media and everything, like your access to anything is like totally instant. But like at that time, I was just like, oh, I didn't think it was racist, but you know, now that you pointed out, I'm just going to think about it a little bit. Or like when we were learning about World War II, like I had a teacher ask me, and they're like, what's your opinion about the Pearl Harbor bombing? And I'm like, is it because I'm half Japanese and white? Like, how do I respond?
What did they expect you to say? Like,
And I'm just like, I'm a seventh grader, and I don't know if I should be speaking for, like, all of Japan right now.
Right. That is so crazy. Wow.
Yeah. So that was like, really, there were definitely awkward times, like, in Catholic grade school.
Yeah.
And all that. But, and then after that, after we, quote unquote, graduated from school, my parents are like, do you want to go to Catholic high school or do you want to go to college? And I was like, I want to go to college. And they're like, you're going to public school. So I ended up going to public school, where I went from having 75 kids in my grade to a freshman campus of like 900 freshmen.
Wow.
And that was like really jarring for me. And
yeah,
granted,
yeah.
I lived in a town that's still like predominantly white. But there was just way more diverse, like, it was, the diversity there was just, to someone else, it wouldn't be diverse at all, but to me, I'm just like, there's so many people here.
Compared to, like, a small Catholic elementary school, like, 900 kids has to be pretty diverse.
Yeah, and I'm just like, we get to go on a bus, and we have lockers, and then I didn't know how to work a locker, so I just, like, carried all of my books for my freshman year of high school. So it was just, like, the most incredibly sad, like, so I'm like, don't mind me, I just don't have any friends, and I'm carrying a 25-pound backpack. Like, it's okay. But, yeah, so that's, like, I guess, like, a brief overview of, like, school and whatnot. After that, I graduated high school, and then I ended up going to IU in Bloomington,
mm-hmm.
and then that was, like, a whole other experience for, like, race stuff, but it was interesting, you know, Indiana, what can you do?
yeah, like, I keep hoping that Indiana is gonna, like, find its way to, like, a more liberal side, and when Indiana went for Obama in the last, not this past election, obviously, but in 2012, I was like, oh my God, like, the tides might be changing. Like, I can be, like, finally proud to be from Indiana, but no such luck. And now we have, now Mike Pence is in the White House.
Yes. Yeah. And then, like, especially with this last election, I'm like, now everyone's going to know Mike Pence.
Right.
And then be like, oh, like, well, where are you from? And you're like, Indiana. And they're like, oh, like Mike Pence. And you're like, yeah. Like Mike Pence. Just like him.
Yep.
And it's so sad sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I love Indiana, and, like, you know, it's the only place I've ever known, really.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I've traveled to different states, and I've been to Japan to see my family. But, like, you know, some people are like, oh, man, I got to get out of here. But, like, I really loved Indiana. I mean, it could also be the fact that, like, I'm closer to Indianapolis, and so I'm able to go to,
right,
like, a city area. Whereas if I was living in, like, I don't know, like, Goshen or something. Well, that's kind of, like, closer to Chicago. But, like, a smaller town.
Yeah.
That I would be more inclined to leave. But
yeah.
Sometimes you just experience stuff and I'm just like, you know, yikes, that was kind of racist.
Yeah, that's, unfortunately, that's Indiana. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, right after the election happened where Donald Trump was elected president, obviously I was very affected by it, but when you think about, like, people of color that are affected by Donald Trump's election, you would think, like, Muslims or, like, Black Americans, and, like, you don't really, like, Asians as people of color, like, people tend to forget about because they're seen, like, more closely related to, like, white people. Mm-hmm. And they're generally seen as, like, the quote-unquote model minority. But that's, like, speaking from, like, an East Asian perspective, like Japan, Korea, China.
Right.
not including India or Southeast Asia or anything like that.
Right.
But I left work early, and so I was sitting at the drive-thru at McDonald's because I'm like, I'm hungry, I'm going to get lunch. And it was in an area that is like, it's like seen more of like a upper middle class area.
Mm-hmm.
And so like Reed white. And I'm sitting in the drive thru and it's only me and one other person because it's in the middle of a work day. And so like no one's really out for lunch, like on a Tuesday. And the guy behind me has his windows rolled down and I have my window rolled down to wait to take my order. And he just starts, like, we make eye contact briefly and he just starts like chanting Donald Trump's name at me.
Wow.
And I'm like, why? Like, it couldn't have been anyone else because I was the only one in the drive thru. Like, no one else was there. There was like no one in the parking lot. And he was like looking directly at me. And I'm just like, this can only be done, like, for intimidation purposes.
Right,
like,
absolutely.
There's no other reason for him to be chanting Donald Trump to an Asian person or, like, you know, to a person of color slash, like, a woman,
mm-hmm.
except to, like, put fear into somebody. And
right,
so I'm just, like,
right.
I was shocked, like, so shocked in the moment, and I pulled up and, like, I paid for my food and got my food. And as I was driving away, I'm like, should I have told them in the drive-thru? Because the person working the register was Hispanic. And then the woman who gave me my food was Black. And I'm like, is he going to say anything to them? Because I just, like, if he's willing to say something to me, then, like,
right.
what else is he going to do? So
right. God, that
was just,
so
it was very
scary.
Unnerving. Yeah. And I told my husband, and my husband's white, and he was very upset, to say the least.
Yeah.
But there's,
yeah.
I mean, again, there's nothing you can do about it because it was just like a brief interaction with a stranger.
Right, right.
So.
That is
yeah.
so scary. Wow. Indiana,
I'm
come
like,
on.
I'm like, I hope this guy doesn't have a gun because I will definitely die.
God, that is terrifying. And it's so.
Yeah.
Horrifying that that's the world that we still live in
right.
2017. God.
And you're just like, I guess especially Trump has just empowered these people to go out and, like, do something like that. Like,
yeah.
Like, even if it's not, like, they're going out and, like, pointing a gun at people or, like, beating people up, like, still yelling at someone.
Right. The subtext
in
is
the
still
street.
There. Like, it's still a violent, threatening thing to do, even though, like, obviously the police are going to say that, you know, he isn't actually doing anything to you, but it's still violent and threatening.
Right. And, like, you know, I knew that I was safe because I was in my car, and so, like, I mean, I guess the worst he could do would be, like, literally hit me with his car.
Yeah.
But it made me worry because, like, what if my mom went to the grocery store and she got yelled at by somebody? Or,
right.
you know, like, I can at least be slightly more acceptable, quote-unquote, because, like, I don't have an accent in my voice. And, like, people come up to me and they're like, so what are you? Like, knowing that I'm mixed somehow. But
what
like,
are
mom,
you?
Like,
you're an
yeah.
animal at the zoo. God.
Oh, I get that. I get it all the time. They're like, so I know you're, like, mixed, but, like, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from Bloomington. And
right.
they're like, no, but
you're...
you know. And I'm like, well, my parents are, and then have to go into the whole spiel.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, like, how do you say this in Japanese? Or what's your real name? And I'm like, well,
oh my,
like, well, my real name's Grace. Because I was, again, born in Indiana.
Right.
It's like, and I don't speak Japanese at all.
Right.
Sorry to let you down. Yeah, it's just, again, good old Indiana.
Oh my gosh, that's so embarrassing, Indiana.
I know. Like, I love you, Indiana, but please, like, give me something to be proud of.
Get it together. Jeez.
Oh, yep. Yep. So that's that with that.
So how did you get interested or involved in the body pause stuff?
So I currently am what would be considered a small fat. So I believe that's correct. My size ranges between like 14 to 18, depending on like what type of clothing it is and what the brand is and all that. But like weight is something I've kind of struggled with all my life. I didn't really gain a lot of weight until my freshman year of college.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like the freshman 15
yeah.
or whatever was more like the freshman 50 for me.
Yeah.
So like literally, and then I worked at a food court, so that didn't help. So we got one free meal, with each shift that we worked. And then the quad that I was living in was also next to the food court that I worked. So I just ate not the best food, delicious food,
right?
But because it's his fried, but like not the best. And then, you know, didn't work out consistently or anything. Not that I do now because moving is terrible.
Agreed. Agreed.
I guess since like sixth or seventh grade, my mom would always tell me that like, oh, like you're looking a little chubby, like you could use some weight or lose some weight. And granted, at that time I was like a 5 or 7 in junior size clothing. But because like culturally, Japanese women in particular are like very small and like seen as petite. And, you know, in Japan, you, it kind of seems like you have the opportunity to like quote unquote exercise more because you're able to walk more or bike more in public transportation
right.
is a lot easier to, have access to, like, especially compared to here in Indiana where mm-hmm. public transportation is like literally non-existent.
Right.
But so, you know, living here in the US, like my mom drove us to school every day and I was active. Like I did basketball and track and field and, like softball for a year and swam and all that. But just compared to like other Japanese kids, I would be considered like fat.
Yeah.
So, I can't exactly remember how I was introduced to it, but some of my friends, were on the blogging website Zanga, mm-hmm. if you remember what that is.
Yep.
I don't know if that site is still alive anymore, but, so we all had like our own Zangas and everything. And that's like where I discovered what like pro anorexia and pro bulimia sites were.
Yeah.
And so like I followed a lot of people that were like pro anemia and like all the inspiration and all that stuff. And from like high school, less so in junior high, but more starting high school, where I had gained a little bit more weight and I was probably between like 120 and 130 pounds and I'm 5'1". So, which is like a totally normal weight
for
someone or quote unquote normal, like for your BMI and whatever, for someone of that height. And, you know, I'm getting told by my mom, oh, let's go on a diet. Like you should work out more. Like you're getting a little fat, blah, blah, blah. Like that sort of negative thoughts. And then of course in high school, like no one had self-esteem.
Right.
So a lot of my friends are also talking about, you know, like, oh, like I ate this. And so I feel so bad. Like I've been bad because I had like piece of cake or blah, blah, blah. And so, like, I wouldn't ever say that I was to the point where I had, like, an eating disorder, but I did participate in disordered eating where I would count my calories, like, pretty obsessively and be like, oh, I only ate this, and so I only had, like, 500 calories today. Like, great. You know, I'm obviously going to drop the weight, which is, like, not how that works.
No.
But, you know,
no matter how many
everything.
No matter how many internet trolls say that that's how it works, it's not how it works.
Yeah, and it's just like, no, like, that is not how to lose weight
right.
at all. That's, like, that is really terrible for your body. But just, like, doing that restrictive eating and, like, lying to my mom. Like, my mom would come home and be like, oh, like, I'm going to make dinner. And I'd be like, oh, I made myself something. Like, I made a Hot Pocket. It's fine. Like, you don't need to make me anything. And then just, like, not eating dinner or any stuff like that to see if I could, like, drop down, because, like, a size 7 pants for some reason is, like, a terrible pant size to have, because it wasn't, like, a 2 or a 0.
Right.
So that was very damaging. And so I struggled a lot, like, a lot with my body image and self-worth in high school, and then move on to my freshman year of college, and I gained 50 pounds. And that was, at the time, I think I was sort of in denial about it. I'm like, oh, it's fine, like, I can just work out, like, I'll drop the weight, like, mm-hmm. Like, I'm walking to and from class, like, I should be losing it, whatever. And then I come home from the summer, and then my mom decides that both of us are going to go on a really, really incredibly restrictive diet, where the food is, like, it'll be like, oh, this is chili, but it'll be like a powdered form of, like, chili that you add a little bit of hot water to.
Ew.
And then you just convince yourself that it tastes like chili.
Right, right.
Yeah, it was really gross. But because it was so restrictive, and then I was, for my summer job, I was working in a warehouse at the time, and so I was just, like, super gross and sweating, and I would work out after that, and I ended up dropping, I think, like, 45 pounds that summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I nearly took off what I had gained. And so I'm like, oh, okay, like, this is fine, because I'm almost back down to what I was. And, you know, then from there I can get to my goal weight of, like, 110 pounds. And I think between my sophomore and junior, I'm sorry, I spaced what that word was. my sophomore and junior year, I think I had discovered Tumblr through a friend, and going through Tumblr, and I'm just like, I don't understand what this website is. Like, how do you find people? And now obviously I'm just like, oh, let's waste like 2 hours and just
right,
fall into the
scrolling
hole of my
through.
Dashboard. Oh yeah. But at the time I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing. And so I was just, like, following, like, random blogs and stuff. And I can't remember exactly, like, how, like, what the first blog was. But through Tumblr, I was able to start seeing more and more pictures of bigger women and fat women that were, like, just comfortable in their bodies. And they looked cute. And they're wearing cute clothing. And they're just, like, very confident. And I'm like, wow, like, how come they're so confident in their bodies, like, when they're, like, considered fat? And because, like, to me, at that time, it's, like, fat's bad. Like, you shouldn't want to be fat. But just, like, following more and more of those blogs, I'm just like, you know, like, I don't understand why I can't be comfortable at the size that I'm at, is especially if all these women are so comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, from there, it was started to slowly change my mindset about exactly what was good and bad about, like, different body sizes. And obviously there's nothing, like, you can be whatever weight or whatever size you want, and there's nothing bad with that. But having to unlearn, like, all that stuff
yeah.
from all those years of being told, like, you're too big, you're too big, at, like, not even a double-digit size is, it's really hard to go through. Yeah. And then I sort of, like, played around with the idea of being, like, a good fatty.
Yeah.
And so I would still, like, diet and show that, like, take pictures of me, like, working out and being, like, oh, like, plus size, you know, but body positive. But, you know, like, I'm working out and still, like, trying to lose weight because I want to be cute. And then I started discovering more stuff, like, Jess Baker with The Militant Baker. Mm-hmm. And I started reading, I think the first, like, body positive, or I guess, yeah, it would be more body positive book I read was Jess Baker's book. And that kind of, like, opened a whole door for me. So it's kind of within the past couple of years that I've really, like, come into the whole, like, body positive, fat positive thing, like, fully, and being like, you know, it's okay that even though I'm at my heaviest, like, it doesn't really matter because, like, I like myself.
Right.
And just because my clothes don't fit from last year or 2 years ago, like, I can just buy new clothes and
right.
I still look cute.
Right.
And yeah. So
and everyone loves,
like,
buying new clothes anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Like, can I afford it? Not really, but I do have some hot cash and I'm going to go to Torrid.
Yep.
So, like, unfortunately, my husband and I are high school sweethearts. And so I've had him here for a lot of, my, like, struggling through body image and everything. And, like, I'm very fortunate that he's been very supportive mm-hmm. and not telling me, like, oh, you're too fat to do this or blah, blah, blah. So, like, I've gained weight and he's also gained weight. And we're just like, well, we're fat together. Like, this
yeah.
is fun. So, like, he'll still work out and stuff. But I think it's just, it's not necessarily to lose weight. It's like he just likes working out and he thinks it's, like, cathartic and stuff. And every once in a while I'm like, oh, well, you know, I do like when I do walk for, like, 30 minutes, but that means I have to, like, put on a bra and dance. And that's terrible.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you found body pods. Like, how has your mom responded?
So, like, every time we would go over and visit for a while, it would be brought into the topic of, I haven't talked too much to my parents about, like, whole body positive movement because
right.
they just, like, wouldn't understand what that is.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
They are just both in a mindset where, like, fat is bad. And even though, like, my grandmother is a larger woman and my aunt is a larger woman, like, they just don't want to be seen as fat.
Yeah.
And my mom is very small. She's very petite. So I think that would be very hard for her to grapple because she's never been, I don't think she's ever been, like, over 120
yeah.
pounds. And then my dad he's fluctuated in weight and everything, but, like, with men, it's more lenient.
Right, absolutely.
When it comes to weight and everything. So there was a point in time where every time I would go over and visit, my weight would be brought up every time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, well, have you thought about this? And then my mom would give me a book to read about, you know, some new fad diet and whatever. And I'm like, well, okay, like, we'll see. And just very recently, they hadn't asked for a while. And so I thought, like, okay, well, maybe we're just over, like, talking about my weight. Like, maybe they're just done trying to
yeah.
do anything about it. But very recently, we were all having dinner. We were having a family dinner. And, like, out of nowhere, my dad is like, well, you know, I really think that you need to start taking your health into consideration. And, like, just going on about how, like, if I want to prolong my life or if I want to have kids or something like that. Like, I need to start looking into, like, just feeling better. And, like, you know, don't you just want to feel better in your clothes? I'm like, if I want to feel better in my clothes, I'll just buy bigger clothes.
Right.
Like,
right.
I don't care.
Like, I'm not in a prison of the dress I'm wearing.
Right. Like, just, like, it's not like I can't, like, feel like, oh, shit, this 14 doesn't fit anymore. Well, I guess I'll just keep wearing it forever.
Right. And then shame myself for how I feel in it.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, probably, like, stress eat or binge or something. And then, like, then feel worse because then they're even tighter. Yeah. So eventually it came to the point where I was just like, I'm not talking about this. Like, I'm not talking about my weight. It's not your business. And just because I am heavier, it doesn't mean necessarily that I'm unhealthy. And if I am unhealthy, who cares? Like, it's my body and it's not any of your business whether or not, like, I'm eating broccoli versus eating a pizza.
Right.
And it got pretty heated where it ended up that I walked out and my husband got told fuck you by my dad and we just left, like, without saying anything. So after that, I don't think we're going to talk about it anymore. Like, hopefully that was, like, the turning point of them being like, okay, whatever. If she just wants to die of diabetes, then go for it.
Right.
So they're not, like, to say the least, they're not very accepting of like, feeling confident in a larger body or any of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, families are so hard because, like, I mean, you know how hard it is to unlearn all this stuff. Like, you've been through it. And and also there's that added component of, like, families feeling like they have some sort of ownership over your health and, like, they have some stake in the way what you do to yourself. Families are hard, like. And sometimes you just have to say, like, this is not a subject that I am willing to discuss. Like, this is, like, if you want me to come over and see you on Sundays or if you want me to come to Thanksgiving, like, this subject is not on the table. And, like, sometimes that's all you can do. And, like, everybody just has to make peace with it. And that's just the way it is, you know?
Yeah, and, like, unfortunately, like, diet culture is just so ingrained in just, like, everyday conversation. So, when my cousin had recently had a baby, I think last year, and one of the things that my uncle was talking about was how proud he was about how fast she shed the pregnancy weight. And, like, stuff like that. And, like, my aunt is always talking about how she should, we should all get together and do a boot camp and, like, all that. And, like, oh, I'm eating a piece of cake. I'm so naughty. And I'm just like, I don't want to talk about it, but, like, I also don't have the energy to
fight about
open
it.
Up that discussion. Yes. Yeah. And, I'm also, like, I'm one of those people that if I, like, start arguing with somebody, like, my brain just goes blank with, like, any knowledge that I have, and I just get really emotional, and then I just start crying.
Yes, I'm the same way. Like, my reaction to every strong emotion is always going to be crying. It always is. Like, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah, and they're like, oh my god, like, don't cry. And I'm like, I'm not sad. I'm pissed at you. Like,
I just want to be able to
tell you. Right. Yeah, I'm like, just let me do this. I'm going to walk away for a second, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about it like adults. And then, also, like, if you show any sort of emotion, like if I'm talking to my parents and they bring up my weight, and then I get angry about it, I'm in the wrong because it's like, well, why are you getting so defensive? Why are you getting angry? We're only concerned. And you're just like, I'm just like, I don't have the energy to tell you why your concern is dumb. Like,
right.
I get that you're my parents and that you want me to be quote unquote healthy by losing weight because, like, you possibly want to see grandchildren in the future. And I'm like, plenty of fat people get pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, that isn't going to stop me from, like conceiving a child if I want children. And it's just like, I don't have the energy to deal with your concern because your concern is harmful to my, like, my mental health.
Right. And like you said, diet culture is so pervasive that, like, people don't even understand when it is coming out of their mouths. Like, I feel like with body pods, a lot of times you have to come to it by yourself, like, when you're ready for it. And there are some times when you can, like, sort of bring someone into body pods, but they have to be ready for it. Diet culture is everywhere, and, like, you've been learning these things your entire life, especially with, like, your parents. Like, they're older, and they've been learning this stuff for so many years that they aren't just gonna, like, turn around and be like, oh, you're right, of course, in a day.
Right.
You know?
Like, even though I was first introduced to, like, the fat community and everything from, like, the body positive and body positivity tags, like, especially looking at it now and how it's been kind of co-opted by, you know, certain people and, certain stores, being like, oh, we're body positive because we include more size ranges. They're not open right now, but Lovesick, the, sister brand to Torrid.
Right.
Right before they had closed, they had a campaign. I can't remember exactly what it was called, but it was talking about how they're adding more sizes to their size range. And I believe they only went up to 26. Mm-hmm. It could be a 24, but I can't remember. But instead of going up in their size range to include maybe up to a 30, they went down to a size 8.
Yeah.
And then talking about how that was something that was body positive, and
right.
You see, like, all the tags on Instagram, like, oh, body positivity, but you see, you know, predominantly white able-bodied women,
right,
that tend to be either one, not considered plus size or fat or whatever, or two, on the smaller end of fat, and one of those types of people that are still participating in diet culture and being like, look how healthy I am.
Right.
Oh, I'm on Weight Watchers. And it's like, you're still, like, you need to think about, like, how diet culture is affecting your body positivity. And so, like, that's, I've been leaning more towards, like, fat positivity.
Yeah.
But then I realized that, like, some people like body positive because it includes, like, differently abled bodies that aren't necessarily fat.
Right.
But I know for me specifically, I prefer looking at, like, the fat positive posts, because then I see more people that could possibly resemble, like, my body shape. And even though I'm not a larger fat, like, it's still nice to be like, oh, like, they carry their weight in the same way that I carry my weight in my stomach.
Right.
Like, their thighs look like this. But, like, I do notice that I don't, like, me personally, and it could be that I'm not seeking it out actively, but, like, I don't see a lot of Asian faces in, like, the fat positive and body positive community.
Right, it's definitely true.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's just, like, a cultural thing. So, like, more people would tend to be smaller, like, especially if you're looking from, like, a fashion side of things. So, like, the only things that I could think of that would be, like, a plus size fashion Asian icon would be, like, Naomi Watanabe, who is the Japanese comedian, that they've recently, like, her video has been posted or has been circulating, on Facebook about how she's, like, the Japanese Beyonce, and she, like, does different Beyonce routines, and she's on a show that's very similar to, like, SNL, but it's in Japan. So she's larger, and then, I think there's, like, a Tumblr that's, like, called Chinese Plus Size Fashion. But again, those are all people who are smaller.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, a 12 to 16, maybe a 10. And then I think the Instagram, and blog, oh shit, what was that called? I think it's, like, curvy something chic. It's Allison Tang.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. I'm not sure what her tag is.
I think it's like Curvy City Chic, but I can't remember exactly if that's what it is. But like those are the three things that I can think of in which I would see a plus size Asian person.
Yeah.
So like I kind of struggle a little bit when I see, like, I'm like, oh yes, like, you know, fat girls, like that's awesome, like I love it. But like then I don't really see anyone that looks like me.
Yeah.
So it kind of sucks, but you know, it's what small, like baby steps. So
right.
I'm sure there are other plus size Asian girls out there, but I just haven't found any. And then of course you don't see any like represented in
right.
the media.
Right. Never so, in any like fashion campaigns. Like, yeah.
Like it's hard enough to get plus size bodies and fat bodies out like in the media and in fashion. So like to expect a plus size Asian body is just like, oh, we'll get there. Maybe in like 20 years.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, you're doing your part. I mean, your Instagram is so cute. And like coming on coming on the show and like talking about how your culture has influenced your body positivity and like stuff with your mom and stuff, like that's all helpful. So you're doing your part.
Yeah, I'm trying because I've been a little hesitant to like get out there for a while. I had a separate Instagram in which I was posting more outfits of the day and stuff like that because like my dad follows me on Instagram, and so I don't want him seeing stuff like me wearing something from like Forever 21 Plus or Torrid and then having him call or text me and be like, oh, so like what's up with this? Like, why are you posting like, you know, fat positive, body positive, like what the hell is that?
Yeah.
And then like, I don't like liking certain things on Facebook because again, I'm friends with my family members on Facebook and if they'll come up and start a conversation that like, I'm not necessarily ready to have.
Right.
And I'm like trying to get to the point where I don't care as much.
Yeah.
So that I can like start liking like fat positive posts. Or like post up a picture of me in like my fat bitch shirt from Fat Girl Flow
that
people can see like, okay, yeah, I'm fat and I don't give a fuck. So, so come at me.
Thank you so much to Grace for listening, for supporting the show and for coming on today to talk about her life and her experiences with fat positivity and body pause. I really enjoy talking to her. And if you or someone you know is a fat person that has a story they would like to tell on the show, I would love to hear from you. I'm especially interested in hearing from people of color, super fat people, fat disabled people, and fat, queer, or trans people. So if you would like to tell your story on the Fat Lip, please contact me at ash@thefatlip.com or using the contact page on thefatlip.com. As always, I want to thank Star Crusher for the music that you heard on today's episode, the music that you're hearing right now. To hear more, go to seestarcrusher.bandcamp.com. He has new music coming soon. I'm very excited about. And thank you, as always, to my Patreon supporters. Without you guys, I would not be able to do this. So thank you so much. And our Patreon patron of the day is a new supporter, Rosie. Thank you so much, Rosie, for finding us, for supporting the show. It means everything. Please don't forget to follow me on all of the social media. You can find all of those links at thefatlip.com right up at the top. And also, if you have some time, don't forget to rate and review on iTunes. I actually went through the iTunes reviews recently because I was building a media kit, and they are fantastic. So thank you so much if you've written a review. There was only one that told me I was an abomination, so I call that a win. Because you know how it is.
But yeah, the reviews have been wonderful, and thank you so much. And those reviews are super important, because the better the ratings and reviews, the higher that the show will rank in search results. So it's very important. So thank you so much for doing it if you have. And if you haven't and you got some time, I would love it if you could. And also subscribe while you're at it, either on iTunes or Stitcher or your favorite podcast app. Okay, that's all I've got for you for today. You'll see me again in, or hear me again in 2 weeks. I have a lot going on. I'm moving soon, so schedule's going to be a little weird, but we're going to get through it. But I should be back again before the end of September. So I will talk to you then. Bye-bye.